Well, it's not Dan Klein. It's Seth Grossman sitting in. Normally on a Tuesday, I'd be coming in at 2:30 to be a guest of Dan Klein. But I'm hosting the program today under some peculiar circumstances. Now, some of you may know that I'm the executive director of LibertyAndProsperity.com. Spent most of my life as a lawyer in the Atlantic City area, but now I just do a handful of cases and a handful of easy cases. I spend most of my time trying to save Western civilization by encouraging people to pay attention to LibertyAndProsperity.com. And by that, I mean go to our website, and if you see stuff you like, please share it with others as much as you can on Twitter, on Facebook, on Gab, on any of the other platforms. And on the comment sections to the Press of Atlantic City, the Ocean City Sentinel, the Cape May Herald, and so on, so that other people see our message, which is not put out by the mainstream media. And we also have our Facebook page. We also have our Twitter page. And we have our Gab page. And it's very interesting because so far our distribution of our messages on Twitter and Facebook has been very limited ever since 2017 when these social media giants realized that people like me had shared so much information with our friends that we actually reached more people than the mainstream media, which allowed Donald Trump to be elected in 2017. And, of course, immediately when they found that out, the social media executives were so embarrassed that they changed the algorithms. They had all sorts of methods to make sure that our message would only reach a handful of people who were already conservatives, and we could not reach people who disagreed with us or who were independents because that might change their control of the narrative. Although that may be changing. Elon Musk, the billionaire, multi-billionaire owner of Tesla cars and also of SpaceX, is on the verge of taking over Twitter. And he announced that Twitter should be a free speech forum once again. And that is really freaking out a lot of folks on the left. So that's something we'll be talking about later on. So libertyandprosperity.com, I wandered off. So why am I guest hosting today? Well, when I was a guest on Dan Klein's program, which I'm on right now, at the 2:30 hour, as I normally do, I had just returned from Florida, and I had this wonderful tan, and I had been walking and swimming and doing all these wonderful things down in Florida. And Dan Klein was joking. He says, "Boy, you look like $1 million. You're as healthy as you could possibly be." And I laughed and I said, "Well, don't be so sure." Now, I was feeling fine, but why did that "you look great" comment resonate with me? Because you may be an old timer like me. And one of the classic movies I remember growing up was the George Gershwin story. And there's a scene in that movie where George Gershwin, a composer in the 1920s, died very young of a brain tumor. And as he was on the verge of getting this fatal illness, and when he did have this fatal illness, and he was really very, very sick, he had just come back from Florida. And in the movie, everyone is saying, "Oh, George, you look great. You're in perfect health." And I was thinking of that movie at the time. However, when I got home the night after the show, I started to feel a little bit warm, took my temperature a little bit high, went to the drugstore, picked up my COVID test, and wouldn't you know it, tested positive. So if you want to talk about that experience, so what happened? I don't want to go into whether I should promote the vaccine or not promote the vaccine, but because I'm old and I don't have to worry about long-term effects, when you're 73, you don't worry about what's going to do your health 10 or 20 years ago. So, or 10 or 20 years from now, when you're a 5-year-old kid or a 10-year-old kid or 20-year-old person, you have different considerations. But for me, I got both the vaccine, I got the second shot, and I got the booster. And when I had these symptoms, I called my doctor right away. And I love when you call some of these doctor's offices. They'll tell you, if it's an emergency, hang up and dial 911. And so I said, uh-oh, if I can't reach a doctor, and they tell you that for COVID, the earlier you get treated, the better off you are. So I wanted to get through to my doctor, and I ended up calling up the emergency room of a local hospital. And they suggested that there was an option at the emergency room, but they said, why not call the emergency number at your doctor's office? And I told them, well, if you say it's an emergency, they say hang up and dial 911. He said, oh, you don't understand how the system works. So here's an inside tip. So when I called my doctor's office, and it said, first thing it says, if it's an emergency, hang up and dial 911. But if you hang on, they'll say, if you're a doctor, press 1. And by the way, this was an after-hours number. So if it's a doctor, press 1, and you get you could leave a message. If you press 2, if you're a patient, you press 2. If you want general directions and information, you press 3. And of course, it's after hours, so I was just wondering what they told me. They said, just hang on. And then finally, at the end, they said, if this is an urgent situation, hang on the line, and the answering service will be with you. So sure enough, I hung on, and the answering service was with me. And the answering service, I left a message. Doctor called me back, got a prescription filled, and I started taking something called, it begins with a P. But it's one of the antiviral medications. Started taking it that night. And so I had a day of fever. I had maybe a day or two of muscle aches, feeling sore throat, sneezing, coughing. It cleared up after 2 or 3 days. By the fourth day, I felt better. By the fifth day, I took a test, came out negative. And then here I am on the eighth day. And so I'm fine, although here at the studio, I think everybody's, when they see me coming, they're all locking their doors and taking cover. Anyway, but that's my COVID story. And it was much less severe than when I had the flu. Back in, I don't know if you remember, 2019, there was a flu going around that really laid me out for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I was having trouble breathing, and that was before the COVID. Or maybe it was the early COVID. Who knows what it was? So what can I deduct from my personal COVID experience? I had a very mild case. I was better about 4 or 5 days later. So what does that mean? Well, it could mean that this version of the virus is a lot more mild than the earlier versions of the virus, which makes a lot of sense because most parasites, including most viruses and other germs, the more that they develop in humans, the milder they get. And why do they do that? Well, because if they're severe, if viruses are severe and they kill the host, they also kill themselves. So there's a tendency among most parasites to become milder so they don't kill the host, because the longer they keep the host alive, the longer that the virus can multiply. So that's one theory. Of course, that doesn't necessarily work for Democrats or socialists or communists. You know, they're parasites. But it seems that the more they go on, the worse they get. And if you don't watch out, they are going to kill the host. But that's one theory. Second theory, the vaccinations help. Gave me a milder version than I would have had without the vaccine. And then the third possibility is the antiviral medication I took could have helped. And there are probably some other possibilities. And of course, I took the vitamins, the vitamin D, the vitamin C. And my doctor told me to keep on walking. So even though I was ill, I put my mask on to get, to outside my building. But then when I was out in the open with nobody around me, I just would walk for a mile, 2 miles. So that's my experience. If you've had it, or if you know someone who had it, it's a very individual type of thing. It's not like one solution works for everybody. What may work for one person may be bad for somebody else. But that's my personal experience. Anyway, this is Seth Grossman sitting in for Dan Klein and also for libertyandprosperity.com. Phone lines are open 609-927-1100. Looks like it's about 22 minutes after 2 o'clock. Let's take a break, see if anyone wants to come on the line and talk to me. Otherwise, I have a whole bunch of stuff in my stack of stuff that I like to talk about. So whichever way, let's hang in there. This is News Talk 1400, WOND, Seth Grossman for Dan Klein.
We now return you to the Klein Time Freedom Zone on News Talk 1492.3, WOND.
This is Seth Grossman sitting in for Dan Klein. And if you want to know more about libertyandprosperity.com, just go to our website. Just sign up for our email updates. And by the way, the email update that was sent out Sunday night, I think, set a record. We had about 1,200 people have opened that email. And not only have they opened the email, I'd say about 10% have shared two or three of those emails with their friends. As we wait for this call to come in, is it up on the board? Okay, Bob of Ocean City. Bob, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hello, Seth. Thanks for having me on.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
WOND Pleasantville.
Yeah, I got a doozy for you here. I came across something a few days ago. I was out at one of the malls, standing in the checkout line, and they had little impulse items for you to look at while you're checking out. And I got this, picked up, couldn't help seeing it, a little book. It's a baby book. And you see it is square, and the pages are the same cardboard materials as the cover. And just like 6-7 sentences, and the book is done. And this book is called Woke Baby. And first illustration as a little child, a little dark-skinned child, hands and fists raised over their heads. Look at your fists, fingers curled into a panther's paw, pointing up, 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 reaching for justice. It goes on like this, up and up. And this is printed in China, by the way. Stuff it up on each knee, woke baby, you are awakened.
Okay, I get the drift. And what that is saying, that is a toddler version of what is being taught to our kids at Stockton University. And let me see if I have the page here, because one of the main textbooks on politics in Stockton University. And I guess most of our state schools, of course, this textbook written by Bridget Callahan Harrison. She was almost became a candidate. She ran against Amy Kennedy for Congress as a Democrat in 2018. Amy Kennedy beat her in the primary. And of course, Jeff Andrew defeated Amy Kennedy. But Bridget Callahan Harrison is a full professor at Montclair University, and her textbook called American Democracy Now is a major text in our colleges. And I'm holding page 4 of that book, the introduction of the book, in my hand as we speak. And it says, what is politics? It says, politics as practiced today is not your parents' brand of politics. Politics is the process of deciding who benefits in a society and who does not. Now, that's the definition of politics, which means that politics is where you get involved to get a lot of votes. And when you get more votes than somebody else, that gives you the right to get what you want in society from the government. But the problem is the government has nothing unless it takes it away from somebody else. So what you see is a woke baby. They are now telling the baby, if you want something, you raise your fist and you force somebody else to give you what you want. And that fits right into the indoctrination of our public schools and the college textbook of Bridget Callahan Harrison. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I know. It's like the Mao's Little Red Book.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Well, thanks for bringing that to your attention. And let me tell you what. Yes.
Let me just throw in the last sentence of the book.
Sure.
The old baby's yawning.
Yes.
Like a good revolutionary, you never ever sleep.
There you go. Because if you right, because that's what they're teaching you about politics and election and their version of democracy. You have to have your clenched fist so that when you want something, you have to win elections and you have to use the media and you have to organize so you could take it away from somebody else. And what happens if you sleep? Well, if you sleep, then somebody else is going to clench their fist and they're going to take it away from you. So you have this constant food fight of everybody using politics and a government to take something away from somebody else. So everybody's grabbing their, quote, fair share, but nobody's out there producing. And that's why, as Margaret Thatcher said years ago, socialism always fails because sooner or later it runs out of somebody else's money because everybody's taking and scheming of how they're going to take and nobody's producing, right? All right, Bob, thanks so much for the that message.
Yep.
Let Bob go there. And it really a good transition to what I wanted to talk about. And just to hand up the thing so I know how much time I got left. Now you can tell me how much time. Warning, I got 1 minute left. Well, it's interesting because there's a biblical holiday called Passover that was celebrated 10 days ago. And it celebrated how the Hebrew slaves were led out of Egypt and they went to the promised land. And there's a holiday to celebrate their freedom. But there's another holiday that teaches that with freedom comes responsibility. And so we have a process which in Hebrew is called the Omer. We count 50 days from Passover to the next holiday, which we call the Pentecost, which is the Greek word for 50. And what happens on the Pentecost? In the Jewish tradition, that's when the Jews got to Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments to understand that now that they were free, they were not free to do what they want. They had to submit to one code of basic standards, which included, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not be jealous of what your neighbor has, don't kill, don't lie, don't steal. All right, we're going to break for some news and some messages. We'll be right back. Seth Grossman sitting in for Dan Klein on News Talk 1400 WOND.
News Talk 1400 and 92.3 WOND welcomes you back to the breath of fresh air known as the Klein Time Freedom Zone. Now, here's Dan Klein.
Actually, this is Seth Grossman sitting in for Dan Klein, and I'm the executive director of LibertyAndProsperity.com. Now, we're an organization that was formed in 2003. So, gee whiz, I'm trying to figure out how many years it's been. 13 brings us to 20, 15 years we've been doing this. No, it's not right. I can't think and talk and calculate at the same time. So I'm going to have a little piece of paper here. 2003 and 12 minus 3 is 9. So what has it been? It's been 19 years already since we formed LibertyAndProsperity.com. We formed it when we had a Republican president, a Republican Congress, Republican Senate, Republican House of Representatives, and still we had out-of-control spending and no one paying attention to our Constitution at either the state or federal level. So in a way, we were one of the first Tea Party groups, but we weren't a Tea Party group that was going against Democrats or going against Obama. We were formed long before then when Republicans had the national government and when Republicans had just had 8 years of control of the state government with a governor called Christy Todd Whitman. And we took our name from the motto of New Jersey, Liberty and Prosperity, which means liberty brings prosperity. Or if you want to have wealth, comfort, happiness, you have to have liberty. Now, what's liberty? Liberty is where the government does not give you what you want, like Professor Bridget Callahan Harrison says. Liberty is not democracy. Liberty doesn't mean that 60% of the voters could tell the other 40%, give us your stuff. Democracy says 90% of the population can make slaves of the other 10%. That's not what liberty is. Liberty recognizes the equal rights of each individual to make the most important decisions in his or her life, as long as they don't take away the right of everybody else to do the same. So that's what liberty is, and that's why we have a constitution at the state level and the federal level designed to say that no, the government isn't there to give you what you want at the expense of everybody else. The government's the referee. Everybody follows the rules. Everybody makes their own decisions. You make good decisions, you do well. You make bad decisions, you do poorly. But don't worry, you're not going to go hungry, because we have a safety net to take care of people who just had bad luck, or were just or didn't try too hard. At least they're not going to starve. They're going to have health care. They're going to do these things. So that's basically the society that created America. And now we have, of course, the socialists. We have the woke baby. Bob of Ocean City explained he was in the supermarket looking at the impulse items. They had a little toddler book called Woke Toddler, telling the baby, if you want something, clench your fist, raise your hand, and demand that somebody else give it to you, which is just the toddler version of what is being taught at almost every public school, from kindergarten right up to high school level, and at Stockton University and most other colleges. So if that's not the way it is, if politics is not the way to decide who succeeds in society and who does not, how do you succeed in society? With liberty. Well, with liberty, it's up to you to decide if you want to succeed in life. And probably the best book ever written on what it takes to succeed in life is a fellow called Stephen Covey. He wrote a book in 1989 called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And what he did, he studied people who were successes, read all their biographies. He studied people who had failed. And then he found out that there were certain personality traits, certain habits that successful people had. And he wrote a book, Seven Habits, and I'm going to go through a few of them right now. But the most important habit that Stephen Covey taught was to be proactive. In other words, if you are not happy with your life and you want something more that you don't have, what you need to do is to figure out a plan to how you're going to make it better. There are things you could do to make your life better. If you want more money, if you want more friends, if you want a bigger house, if you want a boat, whatever it is you want, you need to make plans of how you're going to do it, because if you have a society of liberty, of freedom, you are free to make the choices of doing those things. So again, successful people, number one, are proactive people, people who take responsibility for their own lives. Now, the failures, the unsuccessful people, so to speak, are called reactive people, people who take a passive stance. They believe that they cannot succeed because everything is rigged against them. There's nothing I could do. This is just the way I am. And what is really tragic about our school system and our media and our Hollywood culture and that baby toddler book called Woke Toddler is, instead of teaching people to be proactive to improve their lives, they're asking people to go into politics instead and take away from successful or effective people and give to them. So the first step is to be proactive. Once you first understand that it's your responsibility to decide, not who succeeds and who fails. Let me get that definition of politics from Bridget Callahan Harrison. She says, politics is the process of deciding who benefits in a society and who does not. When for 100 years or 200 years or 300 years in this country, our children were taught who succeeds in society are the people who work to succeed. And there are opportunities for you to work to succeed. Oh, by the way, I forgot to give out the phone number. If you'd like to join the conversation, this is live two-way talk, 609-927-1100, 609-927-1100. So number one, once you decide to be proactive, what second? Begin with the end in mind. In other words, we're all busy trying to get something to get through the day-to-day crisis of the day. But effective people take some time off during the day, and they say, where do I want to be at the end of the week? Where do I want to be at the end of the month? What are my goals for the end of the year? And if there are certain things you want to have by the end of that year, you decide, make a list of what has to be done. And then you have to put first things first. The next step you need to do, once you decide you want first thing first, you have to understand there are other people in this world who also want a better life for themselves. So you have to think win-win. What can I do to help somebody else get what they want so I can get what I want? And that's a very successful thing that each individual can do, because everybody is surrounded by people who want stuff and you want stuff. So instead of saying, whatever I want, I'm going to take from you, think, how can I get what I want by giving you what you want? That's number four. Number five, seek first to understand and then to be understood. What we saw with that woke baby, leftist baby book telling the baby, you're a woke baby. You want justice. What is it you want? You clench your fist and you go on to take it. Take it from who? Well, take it from somebody else. Well, why does this somebody else have something that you don't have? Well, you're not going to find out unless you talk to the other person. And why not understand why the other person has something that you think you should have? And when you have that conversation, you might learn something such as, well, gee, that person did this, this, and that to get what that person wanted. If I do the same thing, I have the opportunity to do that as well. And then there's the sixth is called synergize, work with other people. And the seventh one is really important. Sharpen the saw. And that is, the chapter begins where a guy's trying to saw down a tree and he's taking forever to do it. And somebody walks by and says, well, have you checked out your saw? Maybe it's too dull. You ought to sharpen your saw. And the guy is saying, well, I can't. Don't have time to sharpen the saw because I'm spending too much time sawing. And that's something to think about as well. So anyway, who should decide who succeeds and who fails? If you have liberty, we all decide whether we succeed or fail by making the choices in our own lives. But the socialists and the communists and the progressives and the woke Democrats, whatever they say, if you don't have what you want, it's not your fault. There's nothing you could do. You better vote for the Democrats, and they're going to give you enough to get by. Phone lines are open, 609-927-1100. Let's go to Supreme in Appsecan. Is that your name, or are you part of a group? Or introduce yourself, and you're on the air.
My name is Supreme Sun.
Supreme Sun, okay. From Appsecan. And what's on your mind this afternoon? Welcome
what's
to the
on
program.
My mind? Let me say this real quick. You have to remind yourself that there's always going to be a split in society. Sometimes you can work real hard and still fall short. But the thing of it is you're always going to have polarities in the system. That's just part of science, part of living. You're always going to have the do's and don'ts, the wills and won'ts, different strokes for different folks. Now, someone told me, a much older person, and I'm 65, the lady said to me, son, they're going to be always, there's always going to be poor people on earth. Not that they're not trying, or they're really trying to do good and do right, but sometimes it just turns out that way. So no matter what we preach or teach, it's not going to save those
who are just not going to make it for whatever reason, because we try hard and we try hard. And if you think there's ever going to be a planet Earth where everybody's successful, I doubt it very seriously on any level. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, why don't you want to talk? Because there are a couple of interesting things you said. So there are going to be people.
Okay, all right.
I'm getting feedback, so I can't talk. That's a supreme son of Absegan. Well, it's interesting that there will always be, I suppose, some people who for whatever reason, bad luck or bad planning or a whole lot of other things, will not be as successful as some others. But until America sort of started to collapse, starting in the mid-1960s. And in the mid-1960s, we had what was called the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson. He was going to end poverty. And then at the same time, the Democrats in 1965 increased legal immigration by 400%. And they had so many legal immigrants, it was impossible to enforce immigration laws. So we had an explosion of illegal immigrants as well. And so we had poor people from around the world came here without learning skills, without learning the system. So, yes, we had large numbers of poor people. But until that time, until 1965, I mean, even during the Great Depression, we never really had hungry people. In America, we had charities, we had community groups, we had churches that took care of those who were not making it. And one of the reasons why there was so much help for those who couldn't make it is because the wealth America produced with our liberty, with people out there producing instead of trying to chisel or game the system to figure out how to get a free benefit paid for by somebody else. We had a very good country here. So in a way, I disagree with Supreme Sun. I agree with, in one sense, that you can't have a perfect society where nobody is ever going to be poor because we're human beings. There will always be some who will fall behind. And we've got to, as Jews, as Christians, as moral people in every religion we have here, to take care of those who are less fortunate. Starting with those who are less fortunate in their own families, by the way. All right, let's go to, I guess, Hornmaster or Bornmaster of Pleasantville. We're getting some very creative caller names today. I'll tell you what, do we take a break at the top of the hour, or should we take it now? Or all right, let's take this caller first, and then we'll get to the messages, okay? Well, welcome to the program. You're on the air with Seth Grossman, sitting in for Dan Klein.
Yes, sir. I'll make this quick. Let's do a little history lesson for all our listeners.
Is this Supreme Sun again, or is this the same guy that was with me?
This is Born Master Supreme Sun, yes.
Okay, so normally we only have one caller, one thought per show, but I'm going to make an exception here. Go ahead, finish that thought.
I appreciate it. You're a heck of a man. But let me say this real quick. Remember, in order to go forward, you have to go backwards sometimes. Now, we keep saying making America great. When was it that great? Number one. Number two.
What do you mean it wasn't that great?
Hold on.
Compared to what?
Let's start from 1861 and go to 1871. Let's focus on that area.
You mean where 350,000 mostly white guys died so they could end slavery in America?
I'm talking about when the country became a corporation.
All right. I'll tell you what. That's too arcane. Let's talk about now. If you want to talk about now, I could talk about now.
Go forward sometimes, right?
Well, no. There's always
a starting spot, right or wrong.
Yes, but
then you go forward.
Yeah, but the thing is, nobody knows your starting spot, and I got 5 minutes left to go. So make a point.
Hold up. 1861 to 1871. Study that era. Thank you.
All right. There was a civil war. And then when the North won the war and abolished slavery and was about to give basic civil rights to African-Americans, the president who was about to do that was murdered. and replaced by his Democratic vice president, a guy called Andrew Johnson, who basically undid all the programs designed to help the freed slaves. So that brings us from he was in office from 1865 to 1869. And then when he was his term was up, he was replaced by Republican Ulysses Grant, who was a strong defender of the rights of African Americans. And for 8 years, he destroyed the KKK in the South, protected rights, and African Americans made a lot of progress. And then in 1877, the Democrats basically took back control of the national government, and the basically Black Americans lost all their rights in the South, and it was a horrible period. But the only bright side of it was you had something called the Great Migration, in which millions of Black Americans left the South and came to places like Atlantic City, New Jersey, and Philadelphia, where there was spectacular success here. And all you have to do is read some books by Tariya Rahim, The Other Atlantic City, about Washington Tin-Jin, about Sarah Spencer Washington, multimillionaire in the 1920s, started as a hairdresser on Baltic Avenue in Atlantic City. So, I mean, you have so much to generalize and say there was one thing that was everything was right or one thing was everything was wrong. Complicated history, but if you look at where we are today, you'll find out that those areas of the country where you have the lowest taxes, the fewer programs of government taking from some people and giving to others, you have the most jobs and prosperity. So Florida and Texas and all those red states are booming. In fact, I just got an email from a friend of mine from Atlantic City High School who's now living in Mountain Home, Arkansas, who said that the governor of Arkansas actually refused COVID relief money for rental assistance, saying everybody's working. He'd rather have people out working to pay their rent in the state of Arkansas than than collecting government checks. All right, so we have Bourne Master. Okay, I've told him that, he's on twice. And I generally have a rule, one time, one call, one topic, and phone lines are open for anyone else, 609-927-1100. Am I done, or do I have time to... I see my phone is busy. I still have 2 minutes to go. So what should I start the next hour with? Oh, here's a good topic. Talk about money being taken from some people to help others. I meant to talk about this story a month ago. Aren't you happy that in New Jersey, there's a program to make maple syrup at Stockton University? They gave $500,000 for Stockton University to grow maple trees so they could start a maple syrup industry here in South Jersey when they can't even make money where they already have tons of maple trees up in New England. And if you can't make money making maple syrup up in New England where they have maple trees, why are they spending $500,000 to plant new maple trees here in Atlantic City or in South Jersey to start up an industry? This is a classic case of why New Jersey has such high taxes, such high prices, and it's so hard to get a good paying job around here. All right, I'm out of stuff to say for this hour. We'll be back after the... I have 30 seconds. I got to keep talking for 30 more seconds. I could just chill out, listen to the music. I think I'm going to do that and wait for the next hour. Thank you. And this is Seth Grossman sitting in for Dan Klein. Phone lines are open, 609-927-1100. My policy happens to be one call, one subject, one time. And so anyone who has not called in yet is welcome to call again. And I'm with libertyandprosperity.com. We posted some new stuff on our website, libertyandprosperity.com. Also referred to it in our email updates. And if you'd like to go there, and if you agree with the article and want to share it with your friends, just click the Facebook icon, just click the Twitter icon, or copy and paste the link that you get on the Twitter icon and spread it around either on Gab or some of the other sites like Getter or on your local newspapers like Patch or Press of Atlantic City or Ocean City Sentinel or so on. And the two articles we had, number one, that here there's been one, one deadly crime after another, were almost deadly, in attacks on Jews in Lakewood, attacks on commuters in the New York subway. We have just horrible murders almost every day in Philadelphia. And most of the perpetrators are African-Americans. Most of the victims, either other African-Americans or whites. But what is happening is nobody is aware of the race of the perpetrator or the victim because the media does not report it. But yet the media does report race whenever it happens to be the perpetrator is white or a police officer and the victim is black. So that gives a distorted reality that makes you think we have a white violence problem or a police problem. And the New Jersey Homeland Security, without offering any evidence to back it up, called white hate groups the greatest danger to people in New Jersey. So we have a whole article on that posted on our website. And we also have the, there's a lot of talk about the having an Article 5 Constitutional Convention. We post why that's a no good, horrible, very bad idea. But before we do anything else, let's go to Joe in Galloway. Joe, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm against Biden's policy coming into the border. My grandparents came in. They had to have a sponsor. They had to wait 3 days. I like the way Trump handled it. Or at least it was better. I think there could be more drugs coming in. There could be more other kind of people coming in. And the other thing I wanted to say from the conversation from last hour is...
Wait, before you go. Let's stick one topic at a time. Let's talk about the border now. So why do you think Joe Biden is allowing illegal immigrants to just pour into the border? Why do you think he's doing that?
Votes.
Yeah, to get votes. So how is that any different from an invasion where you have, Russian soldiers with guns come into the Ukraine or into Ukraine? We can't even say the Ukraine anymore. So you have Russian soldiers with guns and tanks going into Ukraine, invading another country for the purpose of taking it over. And it's a worldwide crisis and everybody wants the Ukrainians to defend their own country. But here in America, we have unarmed foreigners crossing our border with votes. And once they're here, they're going to be loyal to the politicians who let them in, right? And vote for them. And that way they're occupying and taking over our country. And since we now learn from the first hour that to Democrats, politics is the process to decide who benefits from society and who doesn't. So if the people come here illegally and they control the politics and pick the politicians, then they're going to be able to take what they want from everybody else who's already here. So how is that any different from invading a country? And why isn't anybody calling this the invasion that it is? That's my question to you.
It's sneakier. It's sneakier. Power and control. To take over the United States. The way they want, so few people control the masses. They get rid of the middle class, and they'll just have the upper people controlling everything, and the rest of us waiting for crumbs.
But you know what bothers me even more than Biden and the Democrats letting illegal immigrants, and they're not even immigrants, illegal invaders into our country. And maybe somebody said it and I missed it. But has any Republican said, when Republicans take over Congress, and then if we take back the presidency, whoever came into this country illegally during the past 5 years, we're going to find them and round them up and send them back. we will give you 30 days to show up at a repatriation center, and if you don't, we'll arrest you. Have you heard any Republican say that's what we're going to do when we take over? And by the way, this is my problem with former President Trump. He said, I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to build a wall. He never said, if you came here illegally during the past 8 years under Obama, you have to go back. He never did that. He said, well, if you commit a crime, you have to go back. But just being here illegally is a crime. And neither Trump nor any Republican, to my knowledge, ever said, if you're in this country illegally, you're going to be picked up and sent back. And if we don't do that, it doesn't matter how many walls and fences you build, because people, if they try one time and they don't make it, they'll try a second, third, fourth, and fifth time. And then if they know that if they get here the sixth or seventh time, they get to stay, they'll keep trying. But if people start getting deported and then they go back to their own country and they can't pay back the coyote who loaned them all the money to get here illegally, then it's going to stop. But I don't see it stopping. All right, what's your second point?
It's going to be a hard thing to stop because, you know, half of them won't like to say anything because they're out for power and control.
Yeah.
So the other ones that, you know, say you go to Washington the first time, I mean, what power do you have? You're nothing. So
Yeah, well, that's why you need a president.
Ball game. It's deep swamp, a deep thing of flushing out these representatives.
Yeah. Well, right now, but how could any government change anything if not one Republican leader, to the best of my knowledge, is even saying, if Republicans take over, this is our top priority to find out everybody
isn't
who...
The governor?
What?
The governor of Texas, isn't he saying stuff? Some of them are saying things.
But it's
very hard to change because even talking, we're talking, is, you know, they say you're racist.
Well, forget that, but the part is the governor of Texas, he has the power to have his state officials arrest illegal immigrants, but at some point, the federal government is taking the illegal immigrants and they're busing them all over the country. So they're blatantly refusing to enforce the law. Real quick, what was your other point you want to make, and then I want to get to John.
Okay, the other thing
City.
I wanted to say is that the people in the South in the 1800s are the ones that set the country behind. They had freedom if they did come to Atlantic City or up north. But those people in the South, and as you know, with your people, even, you know...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jews, they had... Well, they even got trouble and they got hung. Those people didn't accept anybody, people from the South.
It's a little more complicated than that. It's like there was a civil war. The South lost the war, but in many ways won the peace after the war because they won the national election of 1876 and the federal troops went home. And when the federal troops went home, the Southern Democrats lynched not only blacks, but white Republicans as well. There was in Georgia, Leo Frank. Yes, that's correct. All right. Listen, thank you so much for that call. Let me move on to John of Ocean City. John, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Yeah, so actually, it was actually the disobedience or the ignoring the Supreme Court injunction of February 1807 of no more importation of African slaves, and also the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. That's what screwed things up, really, because Abraham Lincoln had plans for the North and South and for the free black man, but that's another story.
Well, that's why he was killed by a Democrat. Right,
he was killed by Democrats.
So, and of course, because the election of 1864, when Abraham Lincoln was running for re-election, they thought the election was so difficult, he was urged to put a Democrat as his vice president to balance the ticket, which he did.
Yep, that's
and so that when he was killed, instead of someone who agreed with Abraham Lincoln being the next president, it was a Democrat who disagreed with Abraham Lincoln's ideas on giving the freed slaves equal rights, and so that guy was the president for the next 4 years, and that really really set the country back. That's all I could say. All right. Well, anyway,
Andrew Johnson definitely did.
All right. Now, next point. Anything else?
Actually, yes. If it's not white supremacist or neo-Nazi idiots or KKK idiots that are committing acts of anti-Semitism, that's coming from African Americans. Is it Islamic? Because radical Islam, Congress shall make no law respecting a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So if you want to practice Islam, you're free to, but you're not free to impose your will on everybody else. So that's what I'm asking. Is it, I'll take it off the air, too. Is it actually coming from radical Islamists, these anti-Semitic attacks? Thanks.
Well, we know that that one of them is, and that was the attacks in Lakewood. You would never know it, but I have the article here. It says, police say man stole car and went on crime spree. This is a Press of Atlantic City article from April 10th, and that's probably what you're talking about. It says, a Manchester Township man stole a car in Lakewood on Friday and spent the rest of the day on a crime spree, hitting people with a stolen car and stabbing another victim until he was arrested later in the day. Dion Marsh, 27, was charged with three counts of attempted murder, carjacking, possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose, unlawful possession of a weapon, and three counts of bias intimidation in connection with the incidents in Lakewood. And then it goes on. It says at 1:15, Lakewood officers were summoned to Martin Luther King Drive and Pine Street for a report of a carjacking. At 6 p.m., a pedestrian was struck by that car. And then it says about 7 o'clock, Lakewood police responded to a stabbing, and officers discovered a male victim, a stab wound to his chest. And then it says at about 8:20 p.m., another pedestrian was struck by a vehicle, and investigators determined that this Dion Marsh was responsible for all the above incidents. Now, from reading that article that I just read, if I just read the article, you have no idea what the race of the perpetrator was, and you would have no idea what the race or the religion of the victims were. The only hint is if you look at this Press of Atlantic City article, they have a picture of the Dion Marsh, the perpetrator, who is obviously black. They don't tell you that all the victims were white, and in fact were obviously religious Jews because of the way they were dressed. They didn't tell you that. So if this had been the other way around, if a white guy went on a murder spree, stabbing spree, running people over with a vehicle, and don't you think that it would say in the headline, you know, well, white, white supremacist or white violent white man attacks six, you know, black people or something? Of course it would be in the headline. Of course you'd have the picture of the white perpetrator, black victim side by side. It would be national news. But because the races are reversed, you wouldn't even notice it unless you study the photo and read very carefully and read about other reports that came out that same time. Now, I think we put it out in our newsletter. The guy actually made a statement. Oh, he said this Dion Marsh was arrested that night in his home in bed with a machete in his hands. And at the time, he said, when he asked why he did it, he said, because Jews are the real devil. So that's if you couldn't get more of a hate crime than that. So we have that posted. All right, we see that the phone lines are coming in. We have Bill of Absecon. Bill, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Bill?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Bill.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Seth. Seth, don't you think that our society is becoming too punitive? Are we just looking for law and order, or are we looking for peace and tranquility?
Well, it depends. I think what we're looking for is for consequences for bad behavior, right?
Bad behavior can be defined by bad people as, you know, they can define good behavior as bad behavior.
I think we know. So you're telling me you don't know the difference between bad behavior and good behavior?
I don't think so.
We have these basic ideas in the Bible, you know, don't steal, don't covet what your neighbor has, don't kill, don't testify falsely in court. You know, those are some basic rules. And we have laws.
They broke all of them.
And if you can't have people follow the rules, you can't have a free society, as we know from the Hebrew biblical holiday of Passover that we just had 10 days ago. We are now counting 50 days for the next holiday that comes up called the Pentecost, which is Greek for 50. And the Pentecost in the Jewish tradition is when the freed slaves get to Mount Sinai and get a bunch of laws, including the Ten Commandments and love thy neighbor as thyself, because the freed slaves of the Hebrews were taught you're not free if you could do whatever you want, because then the strong can terrorize the weak and the strong are fearful when they go to sleep. And that's not freedom at all. You only have real freedom when everybody agrees to these rules of civilized behavior, right? So
yeah.
I think we've lost sight of that.
Well, thank you. That's a good explanation. I just wanted to hear you say something about it.
All right.
Because it seems that we've lost our way, and that the Ten Commandments are the ideal. Still be in place and be followed. They seem to reverse it and turn it on us, as opposed to using it to keep tranquility and peace.
Right. Well, that's what liberty is. A lot of people think liberty and freedom are the right to do whatever you want to do when you feel like doing it. And it's a little more complicated. Liberty and freedom are the right to do what you want to do, as long as by doing what you want, you don't take away someone's equal right to have what you have. And that's what we're missing, that responsibility. And you had a bunch of great people. Like Viktor Frankl once said, he said, we have this Statue of Liberty in New York. He spent most of his life trying to raise money to build a Statue of Responsibility in California, but he never raised enough money to get there. All right, Bill, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you for the education. Thank you.
I'll talk to you. So how many minutes? We got 2 minutes left. Just enough time to talk about. Now, there's this drive to have all these wind turbines off the coast of Atlantic City and Ocean City, and nobody has ever figured out yet how effective the wind turbines are, the five wind turbines you have in Atlantic City. Because, you know, they say they can power 2,500 homes, but they've never done an experiment to say, forget the 2,500 phones. Can these wind turbines power a classroom at Stockton College? Could they power 500 homes in Venice Park across the street? Can they even power the office building of the Atlantic County Utilities Authority that's supposed to own them? And they won't tell you. And of course, the key to wind energy is it can't be stored. So if the wind turbines are producing energy in the middle of the night, when no one's using their washing machine and no one's using their dishwasher or anything like that, all that power is wasted because there's no way to store it. And then when you need the power in the daytime for your air conditioner, very often the wind's not blowing. So how do you fix that problem? You need a huge battery, but we don't have any batteries. And the Sunday Press did a whole article called The World's Largest Batteries. Let's talk about that when we get back. This is Seth Grossman for LibertyAndProsperity.com, sitting in for Dan Klein on News Talk 1400 WOND. Phones are open, 609-927-1100.
We now return you to the Klein Time Freedom Zone on News Talk 1400 and 92.3 WOND.
Well, this is Seth Grossman sitting in for Dan Klein today, and I don't have the script here because I know just about this time Dan Klein makes you hungry by talking about the menu at the Ducktown Tavern in Atlantic City. Do you happen to have that with you to announce it, the specials?
I do not.
Oh, okay. But I just know that they are good. They're reasonably priced. I've been there many times. It's just a great local place. Was it Georgia Avenue in Atlantic, I believe? But I don't want to get it wrong. So if someone knows the answer to that, call in and fill us in. The other announcement, I was supposed to have a paper. There's going to be a major pro-life event at the New Assembly of God Church, potluck dinner with some great speakers. And I meant to pick up the announcement as I left the to come to the studio. And the New Life Assembly of Church is located on Fernwood Avenue in Egg Harbor Township. I believe the event is this Monday, coming Monday, May 2nd at 6 o'clock. So if anyone from the that group or the church is there, please call in 609-927-1100 so you can make that announcement. So I was talking about green energy, the wind turbines. The problem with wind energy is that it's basically useless, as are solar panels. And when I say they're useless, it's not like to say that, say, a sailboat is useless. A sailboat is lots of fun. It's a hobby. It could take you from one place to the other if you're on vacation and not in a hurry. But if you want to use a sailboat to go from, you know, to take cars from Detroit and ship them to Europe, you can't ship cargo on a sailboat because you just need too much wind energy to push the boat, and the wind comes and goes. And we, America, used to have the fastest and biggest sailboats in the world until basically the 1860s. At that time, steam engines were put on boats. And since that time, we really have not had green energy moving boats from one way to the other. So that's not to say a sailboat is useless. It's just useless to keep us in a comfortable, modern, middle-class society. And I'm not saying that a blimp or a hot air balloon is fun, but or a helium balloon, but you can't depend on getting from Atlantic City to New York on a regular basis with a balloon or a blimp or a sailboat. You need energy that is there when you need it to be there. So it's the same way when it comes to solar panels. They produce energy when the sun's out. If the cloud goes by, the electricity stops. At night, the electricity stops. So you can't run a modern economy based on wind power or solar power unless you have a way of storing that energy so you could use it when you need it. But you don't have the ability to do that. If you would make a battery big enough to do that, it would use so much toxic materials and be so expensive that it's just not practical. Now, the Sunday Press of Atlantic City had another solution of how to store energy, and that is to build these giant reservoirs or water tanks where when the wind is blowing and the sun is shining and the solar panels and wind turbines are cranking out this energy and you don't need it, so you pump the water up a hill. And then when you need it, you pump the water down the hill. So you had this whole full-page article about what a great idea this is until you read the fine print of the article. And the fine print of the article is there are only about 40 of these things all over the country, and they haven't built a new one since 1995. Because if you're going to build giant lakes, artificial lakes to pump water up to, you have to clear trees, you have to clear houses, you have to buy land. It's extremely, extremely expensive. And you also have to have hills. So you could have the lakes on top of a hill so the water is pumped up and the water runs down and it generates electricity when it runs down. Now, here in South Jersey, where the highest hill was maybe, 20 or 30 feet, there's no practical way of storing the stuff. So what do we do now when you have the five wind turbines in Atlantic City? What happens when they produce energy and it's not needed? Well, what they do is they just dump the energy. It's completely wasted. And what do they do when the wind stops? Why, they have what are called backup generators produce electricity so that we don't have power failures every time the wind stops blowing. Except for one small detail. We do not know when the wind is going to stop blowing. So we have to have the backup generators running all the time, burning fossil fuel or burning nuclear fuel. So that raises an interesting question. How much energy is being produced by the backups when the wind is blowing enough to produce energy? And the answer is nobody tells you. You don't know. So it's very, very possible, and I think it's pretty likely that all the wind power that you see there, it's all a sham. It's all useless because whatever energy they produce is not needed because you're running backup stuff. Same thing for solar, solar and wind. So it's all a shell game. And the proof of it is if wind power and solar power were really producing usable energy, wouldn't you think that the more they build, the lower the electric rates would be? But instead, the more they build, the higher the electric rates are. So just something to think about. Another headline from Saturday's Press of Atlantic City. New Jersey is spending $21 million on climate change projects. And what are the climate change projects? Well, three of those projects are in Atlantic City, where they found that three of the city's 11 schools experience tidal flooding at least once each year. Now, question is, which schools are they? Because Atlantic City is a seaside resort where you deliberately build a town next to the ocean. But how much of this flooding was going on before? And how bad is the flooding? Does the flooding come up to the steps of the building? Does the flooding get to the basement? Is there a way that you could build a wall to keep the flooding out? I mean, it doesn't tell you what is needed, because if you only flood, have maybe water come into a basement a couple inches and only happens once a year, is the school open when you have the flood? Is the school closed when you have the flood? It just seems $21 million on climate change projects. And I like when it says, and the Black Horse Pike, sometimes when you have a bad storm, it floods. Those roads have been flooding since I was a kid. Same thing, the road between Summers Point and Longport. But now, see, it's climate change. So there's special federal money. So if there's a problem with the road because it floods once in a while, shouldn't the people who live there decide whether they need the project or don't need the project? I actually remember there was a lot of flooding on that road between Longport and Summers Point, and they put a wall up, and that wall, you know, protected like 90% of flooding, and that was done, oh, maybe 30, 40 years ago. Let's go to Linda of Absecon. Linda's on the line. You want to put her on the air? Linda, welcome to the program.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Seth.
Yes.
And, boy, are you a blessed man with those little grandbabies, huh?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun back there. Of course, I think I know where I picked up what I picked up down
uh-huh.
there, but it was a mild case, so I was lucky. So what's on your mind this afternoon?
So how important is the next election and then the one following?
Well, elections,
22 and 24.
Elections are extremely important, which is another reason.
To the nation, yeah. To the United States of America, to our sovereignty, to our Constitution, to our Bill of Rights.
Yep.
To our existence. How important are the next two elections?
They're vital importance. We lose one election too many, we're not going to have a country anymore. Actually, mm-hmm. We may not even get to that election point if we take in more illegal invaders and they end up getting ballots in their hands. That could be enough to tip the election.
How about seriously, where is our government? We are being invaded. I understand we have people coming in from Iran. We have people coming in from maybe China. I don't know about that. But I know we have people who aren't coming from the contiguous countries that are coming in. We have a lot of other foreign-born
right.
people coming in. So do we know that we're not being invaded?
We know we are being invaded, and the Democrats mm-hmm. have opened up the gates and lets everybody in. And I haven't heard one Republican say, if I'm elected, we're going to force everyone who came here illegally during the past 4 years to leave the country. I haven't heard one Republican say that. Have you?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Well, So that means if everybody knows once you get here, you're never going to have to leave. So why would anybody give up trying to get in here?
It is
discouraging.
It's crazy.
Discouraging.
It's
yes.
crazy.
Now tell me something to cheer me up this afternoon. Or
I can't. Seth. I need someone to tell me something to cheer me up. I can't. I really can't.
Phone lines are open. 609-927-1100. Maybe someone else has an idea. All right, Linda. Anything else on your mind this afternoon?
No, that's it.
All right. Thanks for cheering me up. Okay. I'll talk to you later. Bye. All right. And if you want to know more about what we can do, what we need to do, or some details to argue with the lies that they're teaching your kids in school, go to libertyandprosperity.com. Please, if you haven't done so this year, make a donation so we could keep radio spots on the air, so we can have our email updates. All this stuff costs money. And we have our postcards, and we have so many ways to get our message out. And if you want to know why all this stuff is happening, we have a postcard that explains it all, and it's also on the front page of our, or homepage of our website. A guy called Yuri Bezmenov, he went to the same school, by the way, that that Vladimir Putin went to, the what's called the KGB, Communist Secret Police School, where they taught you that the most effective way of taking over a country is not with tanks and bombers and soldiers, but with propaganda called ideological subversion, where you convince half the country that you want to take over that their country is a rotten, terrible country, not worth defending, so that if you want to take over that country, you don't have to take it over because your enemy country is going to commit suicide. And that's basically what they've done to the United States for 50 years. That explains why the public schools are teaching what they teach, why we opened up our program with a fellow named, I think, Bob of Ocean City, was in a supermarket at the convenience aisle, and he saw a little book for toddlers called The Woke Toddler, showing that your child is going to be taught that if he wants something, he should clench his fist and demand social justice so that somebody else will give him what he wants. And that message for toddlers is also repeated by Bridget Callahan Calloway in her textbook, America Democracy Now, taught to all of her kids at Stockton University, Rowan University, Montclair, and Rutgers, teaching you that politics is the method that determines who succeeds in society, let me get the exact words if I can find it here. That who benefits in society and who does not. It used to be we taught our kids that if you want to benefit from society, you work hard, you get training, you follow the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People by Stephen Covey. But now we're taught just the opposite. Only suckers work hard. Only suckers get an education. The system's stacked against you. Just learn how to vote for Democrats and they will take care of you. All right. We have time for a couple more articles. I'm just going to talk about last Thursday in the press of Atlantic City. When the rent is too high, we have a crisis in America that landlords are charging too much money or a whole lot more money for the apartments that they're renting to people, and people can't afford the rents. Gee, I wonder what could cause rents to be going up like that. Do you think it has something to do with during the COVID crisis when the government told tenants, and our Governor Murphy, Democrat governor of New Jersey, told tenants, you don't have to pay your rent. We have a moratorium on rent. So if people who own rental apartments are not collecting money from half the tenants, what do they have to do with the other half? Well, they got to raise the rents. Otherwise, they lose their property. They can't afford their taxes, and they can't afford their mortgage payments. And by the way, when you had all those shutdowns during 2020, right up to 2021, and all the businesses were closed, and you couldn't go shopping, and people couldn't pay their employees, and you had the taxes go up, but all the government employees, they didn't miss a day of pay. They got their full pay, their full benefits in Atlantic City. Many of them even got bonuses. So you have people with less income having to pay more money. And if you happen to own a building, yes, you have to charge more money. The Wildwood Boardwalk. That Wildwood Boardwalk looks beautiful. And the problem with that is the taxpayers of Wildwood didn't have to pay for it. It was paid for by the state of New Jersey. And where did the state get the money? Well, I suspect some of that money came from highway taxes. I'm trying to see if it says it was a $60 million project. And it doesn't say where the money came from. But again, we have gas prices going up. We have tolls going up. We have gas tax going up. And a lot of people think that if you're paying more money in gas taxes and tolls, that money's supposed to pay for the highways you're on. But there are potholes on just about every road I've been driving on. So we're paying more for gas tax, more for tolls, more potholes. Where's the money going? Nothing like the Wildwood Boardwalk, where instead of the people of Wildwood having to pay for their own boardwalk because they get the benefit from it, the rest of us pay for it. And that leaves us with New Jersey forgiving unpaid utilities for some. Well, I guess if you have unpaid gas and electric bills for some people, it means everybody else has to pay more. So that's Governor Murphy addressing the Chamber of Commerce to explain that. We see that Elon Musk is buying Twitter, and he says that he thinks that we should have free speech, that everybody with an opinion should be able to post on Twitter without being censored. And having some people promoted, have the ideas of some people promoted while other people's are restricted. And there's a cartoon in the press of Atlantic City referring to him as a bird brain. So free speech no longer important in America. Of course, Benjamin Franklin said that free speech is what made Americans the smartest people in the world. Because he said when people are free to bring up an idea, if they are right, that good idea is shared with other people and the other people get smarter. And if that person is wrong, he gets corrected by other people and that person becomes smarter. So the more conversation you have, the smarter people get. But if people are afraid to say what they really think, or if people are blocked from saying what they really think, we have no way of testing out ideas. And people end up getting dumber. And I guess I'll close with the controversy behind the state's sex education standards, the idea that we should be telling kindergartners and first graders and second graders that just because you have boy parts, you may not be a boy. Just because you have girl parts, you may not be a girl. What's that all about? It's all about making Americans divided, distracted, and weak, and to turn parents against their children, so children trust their teachers in school more than they trust their parents, and that continues through life. I'm down to my last 30 seconds. Thank you, Dan Klein, for letting me host your program this afternoon. If you have more questions, libertyandprosperity.com. Donate to our group, sign up for our free email updates, and post and share what you see with others to get the word out, libertyandprosperity.com. Have a great week.
WOND.